Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
You and David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7. We are toward the end of the book of Jeremiah. Amazing book. Isaiah and Jeremiah are so applicable to everything in life. It covers everything from Jeremiah's time to past history to future times, the millennial times, heavenly times, new God's kingdom, city of heaven coming down. Right now, Jeremiah's just finished up a 23-year campaign to try to turn the children of Israel back to God. It's failed. They've been carried away into Babylon. A lot of them were left, and they asked Jeremiah what they should do, and he said he inquired of the Lord. He says, if you stay here, I'll bless you. But they decided they wanted to go back to Egypt, and we've seen in the past, after the children of Israel came out of Egypt, anyone that returns there died. Jeremiah told them in chapter 43, you go back to Egypt, you're going to die by the sword and by the pestilence, by famine, all these things. And they say to Jeremiah, you speak falsely. That's what they've been telling him for 23 years. You lie. These words aren't from God. Even though everything you've said so far has come to pass. Yeah. But we just don't like what you say. So in chapter 44, what he just told them is going to come true when they go back to Egypt. It's very interesting about that. When God brought them out of Egypt, he told them a long time ago, if you ever go back, you'll die. Because I went through such great lengths to bring you out that I won't accept the fact that you go back. But he's going to send his only son to safety in Egypt. Very interesting. He made this mandate, you do not go back. Everybody knows that. They've learned it over and over because there have been a couple groups go back and they've been wiped out. So what better place to send Christ for safety during his waning years back to Egypt, where obviously God would not allow. Chapter 44. Word came to Jeremiah concerning all the Jews which dwell in the land of Egypt, which dwell at Migdol and at the Tahpenes and at Noph and in the country of Pathros, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, ye have seen all the evil that I have brought upon Jerusalem and upon all the cities of Judah. And behold, this day they are a desolation, and no man dwelleth therein, because Nebuchadnezzar has dragged them all off into bondage because of their continued disobedience, because of their wickedness, which they have committed to provoke me to anger, and that they went to burn incense and to serve other gods whom they knew not, neither they, ye, nor your fathers. Howbeit, I sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, saying, oh, do not do this abominable thing that I hate. I sent you time and time. We got 23 years chronicled here over and over and over again. Stop this. Turn around. Follow God with all your heart. Stop doing what you're doing. Verse 5, but they hearken not, nor incline their ear to turn from their wickedness, to burn no incense unto other gods. Wherefore my fury and mine anger was poured forth and was kindled in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. And they are wasted and desolate as at this day. Therefore now thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, wherefore commit ye this great evil against your souls, to cut off from you man and woman, child and suckling, out of Judah, to leave you none to remain, in that ye provoke me unto wrath in the works of your hands, burning incense unto other gods in the land of Egypt, whether ye be gone to dwell, that ye might cut yourselves off, that ye might be a curse and a reproach among all the nations to the earth. Have ye forgotten the wickedness of your fathers? Yes, they have. And the wickedness of the kings of Judah? Yes, they've forgotten all about that. And the wickedness of their wives, and your own wickedness, and the wickedness of your wives, which they have committed in the land of Judah, in the streets of Jerusalem. They are not humbled even unto this day, neither have they feared nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes that I set before you and before your fathers. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil and to cut off all Judea, Judah. Humble yourselves. Sounds like an easy thing to say and do, Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's hard, though. Once pride gets in, and the Hebrews are very proudful, just simply humble yourself. He says, you know, forget following me with all your heart. I gave up on that. Just burn incense to me, not to other gods. You know, at one time he said, all right, just pick one Sabbath and don't carry anything laborious through the gates. And then I will recognize that as an attempt to follow me, because that's all the law is. The first covenant given to Abraham, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. The simplicity of that, all things are legal if the heart follows after God. But no, they couldn't do it. You put the curse of the law on them. Do things with your hands then. I know your heart is corrupt, because I watch you make sacrifices, and I know what's going on in your head in your tent in the evening. That's scary, isn't it? Yeah, God knows about everything. All the complaining, all of the murmuring against Moses in times past, in your tent, the Bible says. That means you didn't even say it out loud.
Mm-mm.
But just show me the slightest little action that you could follow me. And I will take the remnant of Judah that have set their faces to go into the land of Egypt to sojourn there, and they shall all be consumed and fall in the land of Egypt. They shall even be consumed by the sword and by the famine. They shall die from the least even unto the greatest by the sword and by the famine, and they shall be an excretion, an astonishment, and a curse, and a reproach. For I will punish them that dwell in the land of Egypt as I have punished Jerusalem, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, so that none of the remnant of Judah which are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall escape or remain, that they should return into the land of Judah, to the which they have a desire to return to dwell there, for none shall return but such as shall escape. That all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto the other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt. And Pathros answered Jeremiah, saying, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. You're lying again.
Mm-hmm.
We hear stories from hundreds of years ago about how wonderful Egypt was. Why can't we go there? But we will certainly do whatever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto the Queen of Heaven. Interesting wording there, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
We have an entire branch of Christianity that does the same thing. They have their own Queen of Heaven, Mary, Mother of God.
Burning incense in a little...
Yeah, and pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the city of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. They don't have the whole story from Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
They were put under heavy bondage and servitude. But all they remember is they had full bellies. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her, pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? And Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men, to the women, to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, the incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? And came it not unto his mind, question, so that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which ye have committed Therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant at this day. They had perverted God's law so badly. They're basically telling him here. I mean, Ashtoreth was the false god called Queen of Heaven. Catholics call him Mary now. Call her Mary now. They had perverted God's law so badly that they think they were serving God through this abomination, the Queen of Heaven. They're telling him, well, did we not burn these incense to the Queen of Heaven? And things weren't good. We did all these cakes and all these things. And there's portions, if you read between the lines, there's portions of the law they're calling out there. Did we not do this to the Queen of Heaven? How they went from serving Jehovah to the Queen of Heaven is because the generations before did not school the newer generations on the law of God. It was completely lost. Going to most Christian churches nowadays, the Word of God is completely lost. They're preaching some sort of social feel-good order. How to get along with your neighbor. How to increase in life through wealth, prosperity. God never said. God doesn't feed this flesh. He feeds the spirit. If the spirit can eat the meat God puts out there, God will make the flesh comfortable. But the spirit man has to prove that he can handle comfort in this flesh, because most Christians can't handle comfort in the flesh, because comfort in the flesh leads to excess in life, Solomon. You read the story of Solomon, you'll see where that comfort in the flesh went. Made him very proudful, made him very excessive, ended his time flirting with other gods. He had imported in with his exotic wives, 1,000 of them. I can't fathom 1,000 wives. I mean, would you even see them all in a 5-year period?
Yeah, that would be absolutely insane.
Honey number 675, you've gotten so old since I seen you last.
Yeah. All right, our 15 minutes is almost
up. Jonathan, order me a new one. This one's gotten old.
Yeah.
Ay, ay, ay. Your doings, and because of your abominations which ye have committed, therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant as to this day, because ye have burned incense and because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his way, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimonies. Therefore this evil has happened unto you as at this day. It's just one other thing to focus on in the last few verses. You know, we've seen the masculine line of the Israelis falter. The leadership, the man, head of the family leadership, has fallen a long time ago. And you see here, this is all focused from the wives. The wives have pretty much appears to have taken over the religious aspects of the society. And what do you know? They now worship the Queen of Heaven, and their men stand along beside them and just watch them do it and probably participate in it. Verse 24, moreover, Jeremiah said unto all the people and to all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all Judah that are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouth and fulfilled with your hands, saying, we will surely perform our vows that we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her. Ye will surely accomplish your vows, and surely perform your vows. Therefore hear ye the word of the Lord, all Judah, that dwell in the land of Egypt. Behold, I have sworn by my great name, saith the Lord, that my name shall no more be named in the mouth of any man of Judah in all the land of Egypt, saying, the Lord God liveth. Behold, I will watch over them for evil and not for good. And all the men of Judah that are in the land of Egypt shall be consumed by the sword and by the famine, till there be an end of them. Every Catholic should read chapter 44 of the book of Jeremiah. Everything in this Old Testament is applicable to something in today's culture and in today's Christianity and the nations of today. Verse 28, yet a small number that escaped the sword shall return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah. And all the remnant of Judah that are gone into the land of Egypt to sojourn there shall know whose word shall stand mine, their hearts. A remnant to testify of God's wrath on the children of disobedience. Because he said, all of you are going to die. And then he says, no, I'm going to allow a small remnant to escape so they can tell the story that what I said came to pass. And this shall be a sign unto you, saith the Lord, that I will punish you in this place, that ye may know that my word shall surely stand against you for evil. When you push God, Christian, to the point where you've ignored his statutes, you've ignored his word, that he personally brings judgment on you, you have crossed the line. And you better evaluate your personal relationship with the Almighty. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will give Pharaoh Hophrah, king of Egypt, unto the hand of his enemies, into the hand of them that seek his life, as I gave Zedekiah, king of Judah, into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, his enemy, and that sought his life. And that is so ironic. A couple chapters back, they told Jeremiah, we want to go to Egypt because we fear Nebuchadnezzar. He says, don't do it. If you stay here, God said he'll bless you. Oh, but Nebuchadnezzar, he's got control of this land. He can take us out any time. If you stay here, God said he will bless you. Have just a little bit of faith. No, we're going to go to Egypt because we are fearing Nebuchadnezzar. Well, newsflash, after they get to Egypt, God sends Nebuchadnezzar down there to flatten the land of Egypt with them in it. Mm-hmm. So their greatest fear came to pass, multiplied by their disobedience from God. What a disobedient people. God calls them stiff-necked many times. Stiff-necked, disobedient. Tries to lay them onto Moses. They're yours. They're not mine. Chapter 45, Between the Lines, with David and Jonathan on WBFF 97.7. The word that Jeremiah the prophet spake unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in the book at the mouth of Jeremiah in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, this is the scribe that Jeremiah carried around with him sometimes. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch, thou didst say, woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my signing, and I find no rest. Thus shalt thou say unto him, the Lord saith thus, behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted will I pluck up, even this whole land. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. Is that a little reward there for the faithful? Thy life will I give unto thee wherever thou goest. But don't seek great things for yourself, Christian. That's not what this life is all about. This life is a testing ground.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned!